Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold. It's happened before.
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host for today, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. Today is May the 7th, 2018. We have a full show for you today. Looking forward to today's show. We'd love to hear from you all. Got a lot to talk about. Give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And I would love for you to be a part of today's show. So we will definitely jump into that. But before we do that, everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network with giving some of your financial donations. Go to the website for the network, and that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. And you'll see the prompt for donations. Just go ahead, hit the prompt for donations so that this network can stay on air from the supporters that this network was actually created for. This platform was not created for the corporate agenda. It was actually created by an individual that is dealing with some of the same things that you are dealing with, in a place where we can all galvanize our overall efforts to bring solutions to the manufactured problems that we deal with. So in order for that to happen, we're going to need this network to continue to grow and expand itself, and the only way that they can do that by monetary means, if you will give some of your financial energy to the network, because you are who this network was created to benefit. So please do that so that we can continue to move forward and to have an opportunity to impact those that we have yet not named. So very, very important in my opinion. So you could do that with your donations. No matter how great or small your donations are, they're still greatly, greatly appreciated and very, very needed. Okay? So That is one spot that's that we need to take care of. But also you can support the network by being a member in the social media platform known as BTR Community. And BTR Community is a social media outlet that the network put together, once again, looking for your best benefit and trying to bring a product to you that will actually give you a more holistic way of doing things other than the cosmetic or the commercial way that really is all about our overall subjugation and demise. And BTR Community, you can find it, www.btrcommunity, has a membership social media platform for only $24 a year for one lunch for one individual. Okay, for the whole year, you can eat off of Black Talk Radio Network and all of the programs that are brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. So please do that. Go to BTR Community, www.btrcommunity, become a member, $24 a year, and you can check out, there's a free 30-day trial period that you can check out and see how the platform works and just go from there, okay? So that is very, very necessary, and I'm going to do a social media show, my man Big Marv. What up, Big Marv? Greatly appreciate you, bro. Big Marv sent me something. Big up to my man Jambone. He sent me some stuff, too. Big up to all of you that post inside of BTR Community. Roz is always, Roz does it every day. And definitely appreciate all of you that engage in that. Very, very important that we do that so that we can cover as much as we possibly can. So I will do a... my man Marv sent me something on social media about social media. I need to check it out, and then I will definitely want to do a show with you. I think it's very, very important, especially for what's going on. So, okay, and also if you would like to acquire real money, you could do that by going to Prosperity Mint, checking out what's there in inventory, and then before you purchase, make sure that you give Prosperity Mint, email Prosperity Mint at info@prosperitymint.com so that someone can make sure that you know the proper way of purchase, the correct way and the proper way to acquire the precious metals, and just tell them that you heard it on Tando Radio Show. It's not for sales at all. It's your benefit, and it won't be used in the future. In the future for marketing at all, because once you start to engage in real money, you know, that is going to be, that's the proper way to start to save, okay? So we definitely want you to do that. All right. So with that being said, I want to get into today's show as much as we possibly can, because there's, I think, some very significant things in today's show. It could be wrong, but I could be wrong. That's not me. I could be wrong or astute to think something ain't right. So just there were some things I just wanted to bring to your attention. Would love to talk with it and discuss it and then just make you aware, and just whatever you think about it, you know, I think is going to be critical because there was something that happened over the weekend. Just want to bring to your attention where it really, for me, it grabbed my attention, I'll speak about that in a minute. So we're going to jump into what's in the news. But once again, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. All right, first article I posted came from Press TV. Iran will fiercely resist U.S. bid to limit its role. So check out that article. A lot of tension being drawn up in that region, in the Iran region, because Iran has already, in my opinion, has already been engaged, as well as Russia, Syria, China have already been engaged by the NATO members with the overall behesting of the U.S. that still really participate in the NATO military hegemony. Or dollar hegemony, that U.S. dollar hegemony that is used to suffocate economically and to be able to steal resources throughout the world. So, and I think there's a major splintering inside of NATO. But that's, you know, what the system really wants. They created it so they can dismantle it or deactivate it at any time for their overall agenda, to their benefit. So absent of yours. So check out that. Next article I got from Business Insider. An Israeli minister threatens to kill Syrian Assad, a Putin ally. as war looms over Iran missile threats. There's a lot that, and this came from Business Insider, some of that is going to play into today's show, so check out that article. Next article got from Sputnik News. U.S. incites Middle East power to kick off new armed conflict in Syria. Check out that article, definitely that to see that going on. This one I got from criminal broadcast station, commonly referred to as CBS News. North Korea calls U.S. claims about upcoming summit misleading. And that was basically about Kim Jong-un kind of struck back, say, oh, all y'all think that I'm at the table because of the sanctions is not true. And all this credit that is trying to be given to a particular Western political figurehead is completely bogus. It's not why. I mean, he's talking about celebrity figurehead President Trump. So check out that article. Think that was quite significant for what's going on. I'm going to try to put this all together as best as I possibly can. I'm not saying that this is true. I just was looking at some things and some very bad omens and some very significant omens seem to have popped up over the weekend starting Friday and was not good. Just want to make sure that you're aware of it and have an idea that some possibilities are being may possibly be in the works. All right, next article got from Investment Watch blog. The world has accumulated $215 trillion of private wealth, but who holds it all? About 73% is held by just 10 countries. Check out that article. Next article, and this was the article that I thought is not the one. It's just a rehash of it. It came out today, but actually the one that really was significant was the one that came out on Friday. And let me just real quick. Oops, one second, you all, sorry. And this article was also from Business Insider. And I want to bring this up. So I lost my spot real quick. Let me get back there. Okay, so Business Insider, tensions between NATO and Russia are rising. And now the U.S. is reactivating a fleet to patrol the Atlantic. The United States Navy is reacting a second fleet to oversee the North Atlantic Ocean and the East Coast. The decision came as the Pentagon reorientates itself to prepare for a potential greater power conflict. The specific focus on the Atlantic stem from what the U.S. officials see as a resurgence in Russian naval activity. Now, what does all that mean? A lot. And so we're going to definitely talk about that, and that's going to be the main part of the show for today. Next article, this one got from Bloomberg. Oil hedge fund manager says $300 a barrel oil, not impossible. Yeah, I definitely could see that because of what's going on. Big ups to my man Jambone. He sent me another article about that as well, with the U.S. Becoming one of the largest oil producers and I didn't get to read the whole article, and that's why I didn't. I think I did post it, so I hope I did. Made a mistake. Okay, I meant to post it. So big ups to Jambo. Next article from CNBC. Update. Three oil prices reaches the highest since November 2014 on Venezuela and Iranian worries. U.S. deadline over the looming May 12th Singapore decision. U.S. deadline over the Iranian looms on May the 12th. U.S. oil prices rose above $70 a barrel on Monday for the first time since November 2014, while Brent crude prices climbed to fresh highs as a deepening economic crisis in Venezuela threatens the country's already tumbling oil supplies. So check out that article. Very, very important. Next article, I got this from Business Insider. These are the Chinese laser weapons that have been reportedly targeting U.S. planes in an act of just short of a war. And this was here it goes. U.S. accuses China on Thursday of pointing lasers at military aircraft near Djibouti. And hold up, wait a minute. Is where years back I was, when Tando Radio Show was just starting out, I said, always watch Djibouti because that's where the Chinese has a military installation, and the U.S. does as well. And they actually, from time to time, have been actively engaged in hot shooting conflicts and skirmishes. And that area, and that actually in the Horn of Africa is going to be huge, because I think that Djibouti is going to play a big, big role in the overall expansion of World War III into global nuclear war one, which is going to change the landscape for our way of living, believe me. So check out that article. Next article from Peak Prosperity, The Science of Community. Check out that article, really good one there. Next article, I got this from orientalreview.org. China's aircraft carriers will give it multiple floating bases in Africa. So there you go. Check out that article. Very, very significant, in my opinion, as to where the overall direction of things to come and where that is going to be actually characterized, and is going to come out of a lot of different places, and the overall, the continent's relationship with China is going to be a pivotal one. Check out that article. Next article from Sputnik News. France, UK, and Germany to stick to plans on sticking to the Iranian deal, irrespective of U.S. decisions. Huge. This Iranian deal is going to be, in my opinion, is going to be used for an agenda. So check out that. Next article for orientalreview.org. Don't be fooled. There is no, that one messed up. Okay. It was about Russia and China and India, but it went out on me. Let me see. The Cold War should be seen as a short-term tactical measure to each of these great powers gaining the perspective of greater leverage over the U.S. during the onslaught of the U.S. of celebrity figurehead Donald Trump's protectivism trade war. So check out that article. Next article, this one came from Sputnik News. First chief of OPCW said he was threatened by celebrity figurehead national security advisor John Bolton. So check out that. John Bolton, in my opinion, is nothing more than a part of the Zionist agenda. And he definitely lives that out, that whole warmongering and that Zionist agenda that has actually caused for much instability and for a lot of depopulation. Unnecessary subjugation and the overall killing of hundreds and thousands and millions of people throughout this world. And this celebrity figurehead represents that, and this is why I think that there is no other outcome that is being sought than other than war, a World War III that's going to expand, which has already started, and is going to span into GWN1, Global Nuclear War 1. And they're going to depopulate the planet as much as they possibly can, get the numbers down, because that's what they want to do, in my opinion. So check out that. Next article, my man Rise posted, the next web, futures contracts could turn Bitcoin into a zero-sum game. Check out that article. Really good one. Thanks, Rise. Next great article from Seeking Alpha, Fund Trading, Gold Resource, a clean winner. Rise posted this one, so check out that one. Great article as well. Next article came from ZNet. 820 million of makers of Stormtrooper robots. Here's why it was a smart move. Check out that article Rise posted. Next article Rise got from South China Morning Post. U.S. ups ante with attacks on China's Orwellian airline demands. Check out that article. Next article, Rise got this from the Silver Edge. Colloidal silver protects man against E. coli food poisoning. Man, and I always know this, and I messed up when I got sick recently from that, and I waited too long to take my colloidal silver, so it was off of my game and off of my mark, and that's what I got. Next article from the Silver Edge, Rise posted, Could colloidal silver have saved this 8-year-old boy from a flesh-eating bacteria? I'm pretty sure it possibly could have. Okay, so check out that article. Next, and the last article I posted from Press TV, Trump to announce decision on Iranian deal tomorrow, Tuesday, at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, in my opinion, he's going to stay in the overall Iranian deal, and if not, that could definitely be a signal that things have started to really ramping up. I think he's going to stay in the deal, and if not, I wouldn't be surprised. But I just think that they're going to stay in the deal and just want some revisions and everything else, and then talk about negotiating. But they're still going to be moving in the overall war directive. But they don't. I don't think that they want to do something as blatant as getting out of that the signed deal with Iran. Because it will just isolate. It will just isolate the corporate status of the United States, and will really just align itself really with Israel. But hey, who knows? It could definitely happen. And either way, I don't think it's going to be good. Next article hit this over the weekend, and I forgot to hit it. Now, it was a YouTube video from the earthquake that happened over on Friday in Hawaii, Dutch Scent. So follow Dutch Scent, especially if you're on the West Coast. Please do that. And we're going to talk about this, some things that we need to talk about. Next, I posted this 2 days ago, Friday, after Tando Radio Show, Stars and Stripes. Here it goes. And I said, oh, shoot. You can figure out what I really said. Something major is coming soon. This is crazy. Wow. And is a super bad omen. Navy to reestablish the second fleet as Russia increases its activities in the Atlantic. The Navy will reestablish the second fleet as Russia increases its activity in the Atlantic, Washington. The Navy announced Friday that it will reestablish its second fleet to oversee assets and operations along the nation's east coast and in the North Atlantic Ocean as it seeks to counter increasing Russian naval activity in the region. And so that was the article, and I actually posted another one from Sputnik News, same thing, why they were doing that. And this one reads, U.S. Navy relaunches second fleet to address Russian threats in North Atlantic. And my commentary, I said, this is real proof the war with China, Russia has started like nothing before. It's a hidden one, and I'm going to tell you what that is all about. We'll jump into that in a minute. And I also said, to me, this means the U.S. Navy will be trying to defend critical cities on the East Coast from Russian sub-attack, and I would mention from Russian and possibly Chinese sub-attacks, i.e. Conventional and nuclear. And I said, dag, it's real, folks. Very, very important. And that's going to be, and on Friday, actually, Hawaii was hit with a 6.9 earthquake. And I think all of this ties in together, and I'm going to tell you why. But anytime, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056 is the call-in. So we're going to jump into this, and I want to just preference this in two ways. So what the Navy did on Friday, I don't think that's ever been done. It could have been, but no, not at the speed. I don't think it's ever been done in the U.S. naval history. I could be wrong, that they announced immediately that a fleet would be established. And let me give you the reasons why this is so, so significant. And what this really, really means, in my opinion. So if you would, it would be a good thing for those of you that have access to the internet to go to the internet. And if you can go to Wikipedia, we'll just use that as the start. And it's in, look up United States Second Fleet. Okay. The United States Second Fleet. Okay. A couple of things we need to talk about here, and to tie some of the things to this, and this is critical. Okay, here we go. And if you look at the overall emblem, it has the number 2, and it has Poseidon's spear. I forget what the name of that spear, but that's actually Poseidon's spear. And Poseidon is actually represented, goes back from past Greek mythology. It goes back into the Sumerians and everything else. And that was really supposed to be the representation of Satan's rule of the seas. And that's where that whole thing goes back. It goes back to Enki and Enlil. But I'm not going to get into that now. We'll get into that later on. But I want you to take a look at this. The United States Second Fleet, as per Wikipedia, then we're going to go into reading this article. So let me have this article all set up. Well, now, here we go. The United States Second Fleet is the numbered fleet in the United States responsible for the East Coast and North Atlantic Ocean. The fleet established following World War II. And in World War II, what would happen is that a lot of the supply ships that were coming into the United States, some of them were actually being sunk and hit by German submarines. And so that's one of the reasons and part of the reasons why they put the Second Fleet into action. The fleet was established following World War II for the purpose of supporting the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO. In September of 2011, the Second Fleet was deactivated in the view of the United States government perception that the potential military threat posed by Russia had diminished. On May the 4th, that was Friday, of 2018, Admiral John M. Richards, the Chief of Naval Operations, announced plans to reestablish the Second Fleet amidst heightened tensions between NATO and Russia. And the Second Fleet is scheduled to be reestablished on 1 July of 2018. Roughly 2 months. The Second Fleet historical areas of responsibility include approximately 6.7 million miles of Atlantic Oceans, from the North Pole to the Caribbean, and from the shores of the United States to the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Second Fleet, United States West Coast counterpart, was United States First Fleet. All of the odd numbers are on the Pacific. All of the even numbers is on the Atlantic side. From the immediate post-World War II years, from 1973, and the United States Third Fleet from 1973. Prior to its 2011 disestablishment, move this down, disestablishment, the Second Fleet oversaw approximately 126 ships, 4,500 aircraft, and 90,000 home ported at U.S. naval institutions along the East Coast. Okay, now, as we speak right now, why is this so important? Here's what's so important. The U.S. is planning to put this historical unit, fleet, back together. And here's what's critical about this. They're going to be redeploying over 120 ships to the Second Fleet. And they did this at a breakneck speed within 2 months after announcement on the 4th. Less than 2 months later, 126 ships will be reassigned and probably over 90,000 naval personnel. Now, here's what's so important about that, because that was the numbers of the prior Second Fleet, 126 ships, so they're probably going to have 126 ships again, probably about the same 4,500 or more aircraft, probably more than 126 ships, and 90,000 personnel homeported at naval institutions along the U.S. East Coast. So attached to that is going to be 90,000 individuals. And they threw this up all of a sudden. That is, the Navy itself, I think, only has 400,000. So a quarter of all of a quarter or more than a quarter of its personnel is going to be reassigned to protecting the Atlantic seaboard or the Atlantic coast, the Atlantic area, Atlantic coastal area of the United States from Russian sub-aggression or Russian naval activity. Why is that so important? That's because there's been a lot of Russian naval activity off the in the Atlantic that has caused them to all of a sudden right away. We need to address this right away. This is a war, ladies, and this is what you do when you go from being getting ready for war. This is huge. For you to all of a sudden reassign over 126 ships, and even if they haven't given the numbers, it's going to be that or more. And the personnel and 4,500 aircraft is going to be that or more, and they did this in a haste. Usually to do something like this, you need an act of Congress. You needed to go through the overall appropriate financial outlets and approvals for that to happen. You don't just do that in 2 months unless something has already gone wrong. And what's gone wrong is that the war has already started, completely started. Over a quarter of the Navy or more is going to be in the Atlantic, protecting the eastern seaboard. What's on the eastern seaboard? New York City, Boston, Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Washington, D.C. And I'm thinking that they did this as a surprise announcement. No one knew this was coming. No one knew this was coming at all, and they just broke it on Friday, and they said within 2 months all of that will be reallocated out of the Navy and move reallocated from other fleets and move back to there. This is huge, unprecedented. I've never seen this happen before, and it is a significant tell. It was a real bad omen of what's to come. Just imagine, as this overall war expands, the Navy is already signaling that they expect to have to try to mitigate Russian subs, Chinese subs, or whatever subs are going to be used from them actually probably using conventional missiles and nuclear ones. If this country was shaken up so bad by 9/11, what you think is going to happen when 10, 15, 20, or 30 caliber missiles or nuclear missiles start dropping all over the tri-state area of New York, and specifically in Midtown Manhattan and Lower Manhattan? And they're preparing for that. In my opinion, to have to engage that type of threat and aggression because they know it's capable, and the Russian Navy, Chinese Navy, is extremely capable of doing that. Just got reactivated on Friday. So now, let me just read you this, the actual statement, and why this is so important. Let me move this down to that. Really quickly. Let me find it. Here we go. All right. Here it is. This is from Stars and Stripes. Let me pull this up. One second. Excuse me for that. Okay. This is from Stars and Stripes. Here is the actual, well, the article from there. Let's go over this a little bit. Oops. One sec. It moved on me. All right, let me find it. Okay, All right. I'm going to have to try to... They moved it on me. Wow. All right, let me see if I can go back here and pull it up. Hopefully I can. R-O-I. Okay, let me see if I hit it here. Okay, there it is. I hit it in the wrong spot. All right, here we go. Navy to reestablish second fleet as Russian increases activity in the Atlantic. Okay, here we go. Chief of Naval Operation, Admiral John Richardson, speaking during the U.S. Fleet Force, USFF, change of command ceremony aboard the aircraft carrier, USS George H.W. Bush, CVN-77 is nuclear, as he announced the Navy will reestablish its second fleet from overseas assets in operations along the nation's eastern coast and North Atlantic, and seeks to counter increased Russian naval activity in the region. Seeks to counter increased Russian naval activity in the region. What does that mean? That means that Russian subs have been parking off of New York and doing missile drill runs, parking in the Gulf of Mexico and doing missile and running missile drills. Huge. Washington, the Navy announced Friday that it will reestablish its second fleet to overseas assets and operations along the East Coast and Northern Atlantic and seeking to counter increased Russian naval activity in the region. The move is a part of a revamped Pentagon national defense strategy that places competition with nearly peer military adversaries, including Russia, China, above the threat of terrorism, John Richards, the chief naval operations, said Friday. So it was Russia and China. The U.S. security environment continues to grow more challenging and complex, he said in Norfolk, Virginia. This is why today we're standing up Second Fleet to address these changes, particularly in the North Atlantic. Standing up. Instead of standing down, they're standing it back up. This unit will be responsible for operating and administrative duties for ships, aircraft, and other naval forces assigned for duty along the East Coast and throughout the North Atlantic, according to the Navy statement. The fleet will also plan overseas operations throughout the area and provide forces to respond. In 2011, the Second Fleet was absorbed into Fleet Force Command, a decision described as by the service at the time as cost-saving measures. It now reports to the Fleet Command. Now, because of budgetary reasons, they got rid of it. Now, all of a sudden, they put it back together. Why did they put it back together? Because they're trying to say that plausible deniability, that there's a credible threat. And let me tell you what I think is going to be happening here. It was not immediately clear when the new fleet will officially be established. Who will command it, or how long will it be? A naval spokesperson declined to comment, saying decisions were still being made. The U.S. Naval Institution, citing a moratorium signed this week by the Navy Secretary Spencer, reported Second Fleet will be reestablished on July 1st and based in Norfolk. That was from Stars and Stripes. Let me go on. Almost finished. Here we go. When it was disbanded, the Second Fleet was commanded by a three-star admiral. With the Atlantic relatively free from military tensions at the time, it was shut down. Second Fleet primarily focused on supporting humanitarian missions and aid and counter-narcotics missions with the Fourth Fleet. But the U.S. warships have increasingly been called upon for the first mission in support of NATO allies in the Atlantic since Russia seized Ukraine's Crimea in 2014. Then Russia has increased the tempo of its naval operations in the Atlantic waters, including increased deployments of submarines, an occasional tension and occasional tense confrontation, such as incidents in which the Russian aircraft have buzzed American warships. The reestablishing of the Second Fleet will allow the unit's senior leaderships to focus much of their efforts on countering those Russian moves, a naval official said. What are they saying? Russia gonna be parking and probably going to be firing in from the Atlantic, and their ballistic missiles, and in my opinion, it will be both conventional and tactical nuclear ones, as well as China as well. This, all of a sudden, they popped this out of nowhere on Friday to get this in. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is a very, very, very bad sign, extremely bad sign. So, well, I'm going to elaborate a little bit more, and I want to put this together with you all so that you can see, you know, have your own opinion, but I definitely want you to see what's up. It's just like you at home. If you know that there's someone is going to start trying to break into a certain part of you're going to put your defenses there. When they make these huge shifts, a quarter of the U.S. Naval forces is going to be assigned to protecting the East Coast, what kind of threat are they intending to encounter? Well, it's not a threat. It's going to be the mission that they're going to be encountering. And that mission is going to be from Chinese and Russian subs, nuclear-capable Chinese and Russian subs. In my opinion, that will be actually having combat missile targeting orders sent to them that they will fulfill. So, very, very telling, and I'm going to jump back into it in a second, and you can see what I mean. I would love to hear from you all. So let me go to a caller in queue. Jenna is there. Jenna, welcome to Tando Radio Show. What say you, bro?
Greetings, Dave. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you perfectly. Go ahead, brother. Greetings.
Okay. Greetings to all the listeners, Brother Scotty. I know he there. Me being in the Navy, it brought up a memory that I had. When I joined the Navy back in 99, I was having problems because I had, I had a troubled past. I was doing a whole lot of stuff as a teenager that would not qualify me for the Air Force. So I ended up going to the Navy, kind of just going down the ladder, which one was better as far as things I had done heard on the street from different relatives and what have you. So the Navy accepted me, but what I found out is that I was rushed through on a waiver because in 99, I'm thinking I got this right, the U.S. Cole, which was the sister ship to the USS Nassau that I was on, it was an amphibious ship that carried Marines and a whole lot of amphibious tactical equipment, you know, little boats and what have you. And what happened is that when this type of stuff happens, they rush in all of the, for lack of a better word, undesirable people that they wouldn't want to, people that they would normally have psych evaluations, and they would have to wait months up to years to be able to qualify to get into the Navy. I was supposed to be one of those people because of all of the different activities I was having when I was a teenager. What happened is when this boat got hit by a submarine, got hit with a missile, they rushed all of those people that had those psych evaluations. They just signed the waivers and let them come on in. The reason I bring that up is because we living in a time right now, not only do we have to worry about war from overseas, we are dealing with a war, internal war, with all of these racist Nazis, neo-Nazis, and what have you. A lot of those people who they did turn down for psych evaluations will be getting into these military operations and bringing that stuff back home, especially during times like this, because when they reallocate these particular people, they don't just leave those spots open. They fill those spots back in also. So it'll be people coming from the it'll be retired people coming out of retirement. It'll be people coming from the Coast Guard. And like I said, all of those people that they had on waivers that need a psych evaluation, they're just going to sign them off and send them back in. And I feel like this is a perfect opportunity for them to go get some military training and bring that back home to use on us. So when you see some of these weird suspected races that you run across every day, you may not speak to them, but you see them, these are the people that's going to be going to sign up. And when they come back home, we all will have a problem to deal with. I don't know if you had, if that had crossed your mind, Brother Dave, but I wanted to throw that out there real quick because I done seen it happen myself. Thank you for your time, and I'll mute myself.
My man. Thank you, Jenna, for that input. Yeah, definitely have thought about that. And I definitely could see that being a part of it all. And this whole thing with this changing and reacting, standing up the Naval Second Fleet is extremely troubling. And now, you know, here you what was it? I believe it was on Cerebrally Naive Network, commonly referred to CNN. Giuliani is saying that Trump is committed to regime change in Iran. And the only way you have regime change in Iran is by having a war with Iran and destabilize them to be able to put – and, you know, that is a historical thing from the Shah of Iran, the U.S. influence there and everything else and how the current Shiites – that are in charge of that are there in Iran, how they came about and everything else. This is old ties and influences that are coming back, and it's coming back in a really, really bad way. So you know, it's a very, very difficult thing. And then so tomorrow, you know, Trump may, celebrity figurehead Trump may announce that he's going to kill the Iranian deal, and that's going to be troublesome. And this is all a part of this whole war scenario. And here's what I want to tie in. How much time we got? Okay, we got plenty enough time. Okay, I want to tie this in because last week we heard about some volcanism. Our volcanic activity known as volcanism in Hawaii, pretty, you know, severe, and now it continues. And then on Friday it really got really bad. And I think that the volcanism in Hawaii, and then on Friday around that same time or shortly before or prior to the eruption turning into an earthquake in Hawaii, I think they're definitely tied in together. Here's why, and some of the things that I think is going to happen from that. Remember earlier this year, there was a panic in Hawaii over a ballistic missile attack that was sent on the emergency broadcast, the EAS, sent to cell phones, sent to everywhere on all the TVs, that there was an incoming ballistic missile. You all remember that. And then they came back and said, oh, some guy hit the wrong button at the change of their shifts. He made a mistake and hit the wrong button. Let me just tell you this. There's no way in the world that a seasoned individual that was responsible for that would make a mistake to hit the wrong button. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. In my opinion, what happened is that the overall incoming ballistic missile alert was valid and real, and then the overall missile was intercepted. It was intercepted. Kind of like, remember back in, it took a while, they kept trying to hit The World Trade Center, first they had the bombing in the overall subterranean parking before they finally got it to actually implode by in my part using thermite and actually imploding the two buildings. There's no way in the world, by evidence that a plane whose skin is only as thick as is not is just slightly thicker or somewhat thicker than a soda can, that would be able to mitigate concrete and steel to the core of the building and hit the upper level and cause the whole building to collapse, regardless of how much JP5 and fuel was on board there. This is still steel. And both of them implode and they came down at a free fall. There's no way in the world planes could do that. Can't do it. It's all a lie. And then Building 7 comes down. No plane hit it. So I definitely think that Hawaii was a similar dry run. And in my opinion, I think that there was a missile attack on Hawaii, and somebody was going to get blamed for it. And the ones that was going to get blamed for it said, nope, no, 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 no. Not going to do it. So they knocked it down. And I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't Russia or China that shot that ballistic missile down, that in a false flag event that the U.S. would have done, or individuals that are in alliance with the U.S. in practicing a false flag, because false flags have started all of the wars. We went through the false flag wars. And what started them? And Russia and China said, no, 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 no. You're not going to do that. And they blasted it down. Now it comes to this. So what do they do? Now, do you know, because of scalar weapons and because of HAARP, they can actually engage seismic activity and invoke volcanic eruptions? And I definitely do think that on Friday or last week, the overall volcanism that you have in Hawaii is not natural. It's not natural. And because it's not natural, it plays into exactly, because these people are sloppy, it plays exactly into what happened by them announcing that the second fleet is going to be activated.
Hey, Brother Dave.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Jenna.
Hey, can you go over what HAARP is just to make sure that everybody's following you correctly?
Yeah, right. And Scotty said, hold on. What? That volcano has been active for over 100 years. Exactly. It has been active. That's why it's the perfect, perfect target for what is actually desired. And I'm going to tell you what I think that desire is. Yes, that has been that has been a active volcano. That makes it even more, that makes it even more, from plausible deniability, a easier target. Because
hey,
what's
going
to happen from that whole thing is what is going to be a major, major, major problem for everyone here. And I'm definitely going to get into that and why I think that is.
Hey, Dave.
And so, Scotty.
Killer Whale's been active for a very long time. And I actually visited the Big Island and visited some of the lava flow sites then. And they are forever, going, man. It's pouring.
Yeah,
it's actively pouring into the ocean.
Too, yeah.
Into the ocean. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know what the purpose would be to.
Oh, Scotty, I got you. You see, Scotty, you said it. If the lava actually flows into the ocean, I'm gonna hit you with what
not just that, Dave. Okay, I actually have been there. I probably got pictures of it. The lava actually flows. It creates canals, and they shut down. They were shutting down highways in 1987, 88, 89
mm-hmm.
because it just keeps, to me, anybody who lives there is a fool, Because it's an active volcano. Yes. The volcano has never been dormant. Okay, and it just increases its activity during certain time periods, and then it decreases. But that lava's always flowing, and it's increasingly going towards these residential neighborhoods. So, I mean, that's something I witnessed 20, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and it's the perfect, Scotty, that's it right there. Because it flows, the lava flows, and you can see it. You can go, tourists would go and see it and everything else. You, like Scotty said, you could take pictures of it. It's been active for forever. And, Scotty, I think this is going to make sense to you, what I think is happening there, because you have been there. And HARP, Jenna asked me to say what HARP is. HARP is High Frequency Aurora Research Program. And what it is is, what it is that they're able to ionize the upper atmosphere, and by ionizing and having charging, they basically put a charge into the atmosphere, and that, and then from there, it's able, they're able to actually charge. It's just like shocking a person. They can shock and cause seismic activity and volcanism. They can do both with that type of technology. They can cause for storms to change directions. All of a sudden, a storm go one way and then back up and go the opposite direction and be steered, kind of like Harvey. All of this stuff can be done by the overall ionizing the atmosphere. And this is, and the U.S. isn't the so-called only corporate organization, corporate government that has that type of technology. The Russians probably have some of the best cellular weapons that have been made to this day. So that's what HARP is. And my man Otis said U.S. has submarine detonations in that area. Yes, they definitely do. Very, very familiar from that because of some of my, when I was a kid in the military. Yes, they definitely do that. And it's from there, and it's in Alaska as well. So listen, we're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what I think is happening. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just looking at it. And I know that it is not beyond possibility of scope and scheme of what I'm seeing as a possibility. And Friday's announcement has everything to do with what's happening in the Pacific. In the Pacific. I almost said specific. In the Pacific. Listen, we got to get ready to go to a commercial break. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. Listen to Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Hey, Dave, we back, man. I can't hear you.
Oh, here we go. Okay, sorry about that. I put it on mute real quick. So here we go. Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. Now, this is just, I have no proof of this, but I would not put this above and beyond the overall systematic control and subjugation of people. That I don't think that this is a beyond any of the controlling interest to do what I'm about to say. They've been doing some of the most heinous things throughout history. What makes us think that they have any moral convictions or any empathy or any ability not to do what I think is happening. Just by them having navies and military throughout the war and fighting all these wars, it's a depopulation agenda. So now, I definitely think that the second Atlantic fleet, in my opinion, goes hand in hand with, and the announcement on Friday was no coincidence, or that they are far apart in between. Here's why. If, and right now, as the volcano continues to erupt, the overall Big Island is becoming more and more destabilized by the overall lava, because you heard Scotty said the chambers, it goes through chambers and everything else, and those chambers are cutting paths straight into the ocean. And now with this volcano being as active as it is, remember the U.S. was told by Russia, do not attack Syria. If you do, we will retaliate. They never said what that retaliation would be. Never said what that retaliation would be. But all of a sudden now, the Second Fleet is going to be activated because Russia and China are actively running, in my opinion, missile drills parked off of New York City, parked near striking range of Washington, D.C., and all of the major, Chicago, and all of those other major cities that their ballistic missiles can hit from a submarine, going into the Gulf of Mexico and running missile drills. And these missile drills are probably live and probably turned silent so that the crew will never know when the missile drill is real and when it's not real. And one day it's going to be real. So now, by doing that, I do think that this was no coincidence, because I think the plan is this. And I'm going to step out, but I don't care. I'm going to do it. Means, motive, and opportunity. And who would benefit from the volcanism in Hawaii and the volcanic activities? Right now, because of this volcano, the Big Island is becoming very unstable, and there's a very large portion of it that's becoming so destabilized that it could slip into the ocean and follow the path of the lava into the ocean. And if that slips, if that is large enough, and as large as what is expected, where the overall slippage could be as big as, I forgot what some numbers are, but it's huge. It's not a small amount of slippage. And in that small amount of slippage, if it goes into the ocean, it is going to immediately cause a tsunami of biblical proportion. And then that overall tsunami will not just affect Hawaii. It will sweep across and go into and possibly strike the Pacific coast from Seattle, possibly up towards Canada and to Alaska, hit the all of California. And look at what the overall economic, and there are nuclear reactors all in California, San Onofre, Diablo, all of those would be vulnerable to a tsunami. And San Onofre is right on the Pacific Ocean down near San Diego. That would be gone immediately. there would actually push, and as this, one of the things about this volcanic, and then this overall, the overall earthquake from that was no small earthquake. For anyone that's ever been in earthquakes, a 6.9, the worst one that I was in was a 6.4, and it threw me out the bed, and I wasn't even near the epicenter. So now, it would shear off, cause a tsunami, and go straight to, and it possibly could go to the Pacific coast. Now, if that happened, here's what happens. California, if it was ever hit with a tsunami, depending on how big the overall land shift would go, and I'm going to tell you, that earthquake, that one concerned me majorly. That would take out Los Angeles. That would take out San Diego. That would take out the port of Los Angeles. That would take out San Francisco. That would take out the port of San Francisco. That would basically take the largest economic influence in the United States, and it would be rendered null and void for an undetermined amount of time. Now, one of the things about Japan has always been seismically active. And one of the things with Fukushima, there were some that said that it was actually a nuclear device that was detonated. I wouldn't be surprised if that was it to destabilize this whole thing, and it goes. So now, how does this tie in with what happened on Friday with the Navy? The Navy knows it's going to lose. If that volcanic activity happens, and if it a part of that their slippage, a big enough landmass slippage that causes a tsunami, the West Coast is potentially gone. Totally, totally gone. That means the First Fleet is gone. And what I mean by gone, not only the First Fleet, but also the submarine ports in the Pacific is going to be gone. One of the things that the U.S. did before Pearl Harbor was that they moved all of their strategically important naval vessels out of Pearl Harbor before they instigated so that Japan would do it. They moved their assets, and they knew that Japan was going to attack them, so they moved their assets. And one of the things about these individuals, they do the same thing over again and just repeats it because it worked so well before. So by destabilizing this, let me just tell you this. Hawaii, the big island of Hawaii, and the surrounding areas of that 6.9 earthquake, once that happens, y'all, that area is so destabilized, it can go, it may not go today or tomorrow, but it's going to go, because it's definitely not stronger. It is increasingly weaker. Every seismic activity now, and every part of the volcanic activity now, is making that area weaker. And there's a natural flow that lava has been having for a long time. But now with this sizable eruption, with the earthquake, that's huge. That is completely huge. And once that happens, you can't turn that off anymore. Can't turn that off anymore. And I don't think it was a coincidence that the Navy would all of a sudden make that unprecedented announcement And many of us, because you haven't been in the military and don't understand the significance of moving such a mass amount of equipment in such a short period of time, and what all of the support and everything that goes along with it, in order for you to move 126 ships and 90,000 personnel, which is over a quarter of all the personnel in the Navy, to be redeployed to counter Chinese and Russian activity, submarine activity, that's because Russia and China is giving them the business. And they're giving them the business big time. When I mean big time, I mean big time. So much so that they got to send a quarter of the whole naval personnel to mitigate it. And even them, it ain't going to be enough. It ain't going to be enough. So we got a caller in queue. It's my man, Roz. Want to go to Roz. Roz, what's going on, bro? What say you?
Hey, peace and love. How you doing?
What's up, bro? How you feeling?
Hey, man, like Dennis say, I'm still learning. I'm doing good, though. I'm talking to you, so everything is chill.
My man.
I just wanted to toss a book out there. There's a book called Weather Warfare by Jerry E. Smith. That's a book, I think, if anybody who's interested in HAARP and the different techniques, they have, like, all the details, the scientific details about how it's done, cloud seeding, and things of that nature. And cloud seeding is basically sending or putting pods into the air that release certain chemicals that can cause changes in atmospheric pressure and basically cause weather events of all types. And in that book, they give the science behind it and the countries that are capable of using that technology. It's a really, really good book, well-documented. And then what you said about the World Trade Center is true. I actually worked on airplanes in high school. I went to aviation high school in New York City. And those planes are so light. And we worked on small planes. But a lot of my teachers actually worked on 747s and big, big jets. Some of them were involved in notable crashes in the early 90s and late 80s because there was a whole scandal, and there were members in the news where different aircraft repairmen or people who did the shop work, which is what we learned in school, were signing off that planes were completely inspected, any repairs that needed to be made were made, when in reality they didn't do anything. So some of my teachers were caught up in that scandal. So to me, when I was hearing about Southwest Airlines and all the stuff happening with them, I'm pretty sure, because it sounds very similar to what happened to some of my teachers that were involved in that back in that at that time. And also, what you said about the World Trade Center couldn't be more accurate. I remember my dad gave me a documentary many years ago, and I have it on my shelf. I have to dig it up. But in the documentary, they have actual footage of Rudolph Giuliani leaving the World Trade Center area, surrounded by different political figures and also other folks, you know, that were trying to get away from the area, and they were going to 7 World Trade Center. My mother actually used to work there up until a couple of years before the first bombing, which is when they put the bombs in the basement of the building, hoping to bring it down. Like you said, the first time, that was the false flag, and they said, we're going to bring it down from the top down. But in reality, like you said, it was imploded. It was a controlled demolition, because when they have the footage of Giuliani walking towards 7 World Trade Center, they are stopped by one of the chief fire department folks, and he says, we're going to bring it down. You can't go in that building because we're going to bring it down. And then Giuliani says, okay. And then him and his entourage keeps walking, and then you see a controlled explosion where 7 World Trade Center was brought down. It wasn't affected by the original collapse of 1 and 2 World Trade Center, but they brought it down anyway. So, yeah, without question. And even if you look at the actual 1 and 2 World Trade Center, it's the same thing. It was a controlled explosion. You saw the windows blow out, and each floor pancaked upon itself as it was falling. And when I first saw the crash, I thought the same thing. Weirdly enough, when I was watching it from, because I was actually watching it from across the water in Jersey City, I was working across the water at that time, so I saw the whole thing as it unfolded. Weirdly enough, it was only after the second building was hit that somewhere in my head, because I was watching how that fire was going in the first building, and I said, I have a feeling them buildings are going to collapse. I just had this weird, eerie sensation about it. And even though I didn't actually think, because of my experience with planes, I didn't think the planes would bring it down. So when you talked about thermite and all of that stuff, it makes perfect sense to me. That documentary, I'm going to see if I could find it on the shelf, because I got so many different documentaries up there. But I'm going to see if I can find it, because you can see footage of Giuliani when he is stopped by that that fire police fire chief, who told him, no, you can't go to 7. We're about to bring that down. And they showed the controlled explosion as it was actually brought down as well. So I just wanted to toss that out there. And great show so far. And I'll mute myself for now.
Man, much love, much respect, Big Roz. Yes, and you know, you actually can hear them on live. I remember hearing them live. Said, "Pull it. We're about to pull it." And the building was up, and they said, "Oh, Building 7 collapsed," and it was still standing. Then it came down, and if you look at the whole implosions of everything, it follows the implosion of all type of things. There was a major fire in Russia. There's been major in Dubai and other places in Nevada. I mean, major fires. The buildings didn't come down. One building was practically almost all gutted out, but all of its walls were still up. Now, fire doesn't do that. And the building is made of steel and concrete. There's nowhere in the world that can happen. But why is that so significant to now? Right now, the U.S. and Israel is actively engaging in a war with Russia, China, and Iran. And it's going to expand drastically. And one of the things tomorrow, if celebrity figurehead Trump says he's not going to renew the Iranian deal, that's just going to push everything even further there. You remember last weekend, Israel had used a bunker bomb, which is a politically correct way for saying a tactical nuke, to hit Iran. And what did Iran say? We will retaliate. You just won't know when and where, but we're going to do it. And this whole thing is setting up. Recently, there's a lot of activity in Lebanon. Lebanon had its elections yesterday, and Hezbollah won. And what I mean by Hezbollah won, the overall influence of in Lebanon now has been politically moved towards Hezbollah, who is being supported by Iran. What do you think Israel is doing right now? They are preparing to counterstrike and everything else, and they're going to be coming out saying that you know, if Iran is or not, and then they're going to preemptively strike. And let me just tell you something that's so important here in this whole thing. Don't think for a minute that Israel wouldn't have taken the tactical nuke over to Hawaii, triggered that off, and then now they're going to come back and say that, hey, somebody else did trigger that earthquake. That was this, and guess who did it? That was Iran's response to the U.S., and they also hit us as well. And then what is going to happen? Everybody's going to galvanize and say, yep, let's go to war. See, the overall purpose of this whole thing is they don't care how they get you in the fight. They just want you to join it. That's their objective. And this whole thing in Iran and in Israel is huge, because that is what's going to draw the daughters that are in your families and our communities into that. And once they go, they're not coming back. Even if they come back missing of limbs or are physically damaged, they will be mentally scarred forever. If they even come back, are able to get back. So this whole thing, when they gave that overall stand-up order for the Second Fleet, that was a clear indication that they definitely will be using those ships there in the Atlantic from the so-called and created threat by China, Russia, and whatever other, who knows, North Korea may have a nuclear sub now. Who knows, Iran may have a nuclear sub now. And this whole thing is definitely going to move on. Right now, as I was saying, Hezbollah has positioned itself within Lebanon from the elections, and Israel is saying that Hezbollah, who is nothing more than Iran directly, is being supported by Iran to engage in military confrontation in, or military attacks, ballistic missile attacks in Iran. Excuse me, in Israel. And now the Russians said that they're going to be sending S-300s. That whole thing is now charged. And I'm going to tell you, you know who's in control of that whole area? It ain't the U.S. It ain't Israel. It ain't Russia. It ain't Syria. It ain't Iran. It ain't China. It's the same controlling families of the past that got all of the war started on their call. And it's looking like they're calling for new depopulation now. And it only takes one event, Djibouti. In China and the U.S. are actively engaging each other in Djibouti, shooting at each other, shooting on each other. It's only a matter of time before it all springs off. As the Ukraine springs off, Syria continues to spring up, and then all of a sudden, Germany is going to say, nope, we don't want no parts of this. We're not a part of this. And then there's going to be a call when the U.S. attacks, and when Israel attacks in Syria and attacks Iran, and there's a counter attack, or the other way around, the U.S. is going to get involved. They're going to get their plane shot down, their ballistic missiles shot down. It's going to be an active shooting war. And then Germany is going to say, hey, y'all started this. I'm not getting in it. And then they're going to say, you're in violation of your treaty in NATO. And they'll say, well, no. Y'all started this war. No, you're in the war too, Germany. Yeah, you're right. I'm in the war, but I'm not on your side. I'm going with Russia. And then the old little old Pete France is going to have to follow Germany. And what could really start this whole thing is now they'll have the perfect excuse, because celebrity figurehead Dump has been saying, I'm going to get out of that Iranian deal. And then they get out of the deal, and then now they can say Iran was mad about it, and they had some military interdiction. Or here's what they're really going to say. Iran just stepped up all of his nuclear capabilities, and now all of a sudden they got a bomb overnight. And what is that going to do? That's going to prompt Israel and the U.S. to a preemptive attack. And then that is going to cross-pollinate into Saudi Arabia, going to cross-pollinate into further in Syria, Iraq, Israel, the whole area, and Russia. And China's going to be there too. And then there goes the Horn of Africa. The U.S. and China will be blasting on each other in Djibouti. What is that going to do? Remember in the article that we posted earlier, where from CNBC News, an analyst, an oil analyst, said, oh, oil could shoot up to $300 a barrel. It could get there. And what are they saying that could get us there is the instability in Venezuela that will be attacked too, militarily attacked, because then they will say that, hey, we with Russia and we with China. And because of the overall instability with Iran, with the agreement that has now been reneged, and now there's a war, and Iran has buku oil, and then oil goes up to $300 a barrel. $300 a barrel. I don't know what that equivocates to in a dollar per in a dollar per average of a gallon of gas, but it's around $70 right now, and it's around in Texas, which is some of the cheapest gas in the country. May not be the cheapest, but it's one of the cheapest. Is right now around $2.56, and that's at $70 a barrel. That's at $70 a barrel. So you're talking about over $10 a barrel. Then heightened with the tensions, then there's going to be actually shortages of gas and everything else. Now we're talking about $12, $13, $15 a gallon. That takes everybody here out the game. So, listen, get ready to hit a commercial break. Scotty, do just 1 minute more. I got to do something real quick. But if you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. When we come back, a couple of things that I wanted to share with you that I definitely could see from what's happening. I can't stress this enough by them reactivating the Second Fleet. I'm going to tell you what I said. I called a military buddy of mine who has extensive ties, family-wise, to the Navy. As soon as I told him that, he said, "What? I didn't hear that. That means the war has started completely, and it's going to develop even more. This is so significant. 126 ships. This is like you know that the fight between rival gangs is going to happen, and you start to see them all start to pile up their cars to go to the design area that they're going to be fighting at the park, and they all start to go there. And the overall caravan of the cars is about a mile long on both sides. They're not going to that park to have a barbecue. They go into that park to blast on each other. So, major, 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 major thing. So, listen, get ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Okay, welcome back, everyone,
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. In the last 30 minutes of the show, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. After Tando Radio Show, Melanated Root will be on. Definitely stick around for that after Tando Radio Show. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. The overall winds of war have already blown. Now it's time for the powder to be blown. And everything is being set up because you can never ever underestimate the psychopathic agenda of the Zionist side of the the governments. It's not just one, it's many of them. John Bolton is there. Pompano is there. All of this is all war hawks. All of them are. And they're going to get what they want. That's why that they were there. That's why they're there, to be able to be able to course that overall actions for plausible deniability. And do not put anything against the clandestine. Underestimate the clandestine's ability to destabilize, to create. One of the things that Israel's always done is they've always done false flags in order to get the U.S. involved in confrontation. You saw that Netanyahu made his whole thing 1 week ago today because he wants to get the U.S. to jump into the war. So now they can't ask you to do it. Then they're going to first ask you, tell you, then make you. How do you make them? Bring some trauma to them. We saw how they acted with just a couple of buildings coming down. Wait until missiles start to rain. And the whole thing is being perfectly put together. Iran drops the dollar. Now their economy crashes and going through. Their banks are starting to have real problems from dropping the dollar. Complete instability. So what do they need to do? They need to divert their attention and do something else. Israel just gave them the perfect opportunity. Start the war. Everybody's ready now. We got tactical nukes. They got tactical nukes. They won't fall on us. They'll fall on the people that say that we're with that. When they talk, they talk in we. When they talk about the United States as we. We about to do this. We about to do that. This system don't look at you as a we. It looks at as everyone as the we that they're able to exploit. So I think it's no coincidence. Then all of a sudden, some U.S. courts say that U.S. families won lawsuits billions against Iran for 9/11. Huh? Where's your story at? I thought you said it was Al-Qaeda. I thought it was out of Saudi Arabia. And you're going to have the Russians did it, Chinese did it. All of this was a... Because they can tell the story that they want. The people always believe them. Or they don't even... They'll just say, hey, this is what we want, and people will develop all of the... make excuses for them to do what they want to do anyhow. There are some things that they don't even think about, but the excuses that the people make is quite useful. So it's no coincidence that this whole thing with Iran now is focusing there. They dropped the dollar. Now it's time to attack them. And Israel is biting at the bit to do that because it wants to expand its overall influence in land. They want to get their back off the wall, so to speak. And they want your children to pay for it in both blood, commitment, and energy. So... some very interesting times. So now with this second fleet, just think about it. How would it affect here? All of a sudden, a Russian sub sends 10 caliber missiles. Not nuclear, not nukes, 10 caliber missiles to lower Manhattan, Midtown, Jersey City, and other spots in Jersey, and other strategical spots in New York. What would that do? Because that's what they're going to do. And now this overall missile attack it would be so devastating and cause so much. You probably won't even have any missile residue to be able to say if it was a caliber missile or not. But you may. But they got plans for that. You know, the U.S. always uses Russian military equipment. They can false flag it, since the one in Syria didn't work that bad. Oh, we always got a trump card. We can false flag the U.S. How about this one? What if one of the missiles had a biological agent on it? Do you know the overall? I mean, just high explosives would do it. Everybody here in the U.S. would say, let's go get them Russians. Let's go get them Chinese. Well, you sure you want to go get the Chinese? You know how many they got? So, just imagine if 9/11 with three buildings come down, then there's one missile that hits the Pentagon, and then the other one, and then there's a plane that comes down in the fields and everything else. But then what if New York actually gets hit? New York is a food desert. New York, you trapped on that island. You can't get out of the Lincoln, the Holland, the George Washington Bridge fast enough. You wouldn't even be able to use the Holland if they caliber missile lower Manhattan and they hit Jersey City too. Oh, that would be all that would be needed. Investigation's over. Netanyahu doesn't need the Knesset to declare war. He could do it tonight. I got to check what's going on, because they could be starting some stuff up tonight. Now, Midtown, Lower Manhattan in Jersey City gets hit. And for those of you that are in New York, you know what I'm talking about. Roz knows what I'm talking about. Jersey, you know what? Actually, New York City should actually be Jersey City. It's much closer to Jersey than it is to New York. And Jersey City is the down by Lower Manhattan, the lower side. All of that is critically important. Uh-oh. Look like stuff is happening in Israel. I knew it would be probably about now, so we'll see how this goes out. But all of that is strategically and target-rich areas. Here's what happens. Not only would the country be in shock and upset, and the people that would be there, that would be disastrous. Trying to get out of New York, and it's been caliber missile, and that's just a caliber missile. That's not even a conventional ICBM, and good Lord knows a nuclear one.
All day.
One second, Rod. Just a couple of the buildings not even falling completely. It'd be so crazy. And then you hit Jersey City and Lower Manhattan. You know what would happen to your credit card? You know what would happen to your bank account? You know what would happen to you in middle America, northern part of the country, south, Florida, or anywhere else that didn't get hit? You would get hit drastically within hours, because none of your electrical currency would work. None of it. None of it. So Roz is in queue. Yeah, go ahead, Roz.
Hey, peace. I just wanted to say, like, what you said was just so profound, because I remember after the World Trade Center 9/11, people from Jersey were stranded in New York for quite a while.
Right.
I remember people were walking across the bridge trying to get back to Brooklyn from Manhattan, because there was just everything stopped. And if New York gets hit like that, everything's going to stop all over again. There's going to be no flights coming in or out. Everything's going to stop. I remember when the blackout happened a few years ago. My wife was actually stuck in the city. I remember it was daytime when the blackout happened, and I remember she called me probably in the early afternoon, And I remember she didn't get home until after midnight, probably minutes to one. And I remember as the sun went down, she told me that it was so scary because no lights were on, so there was no street lights or nothing. She said you couldn't see your hand in front of your face, but you could see certain people have flashlights. But most people were just basically milling around in pitch black darkness. And she happened to go to 34th Penn Station and met a gay guy that she actually knew from another job she worked with, worked at with him. And he happened to just be, you know, they were really cool when she left. So they just basically linked up and hung out together until they were able to make their way home, which was probably after 11, maybe. And I remember the trains were all leaving local, so it was stopping at every stop, which is why she got home after 1. And everything stopped then too. As far as in New York City, you couldn't, like I said, you couldn't see a hand in front of your face. So you know, there weren't any real stars out to be seen. Wasn't any moonlight. It was literally, she said, it was pitch black, and she had never experienced that before. And she said she was terrified. She was just like, this was the scariest thing ever. And I said, well, it's better for her at that time because they weren't acting uncivilized. When I was a child, I was probably about 4 years old, maybe 5, when the blackout in the 70s happened, and all hell broke loose then. Everybody was wilding right out. So I told her, I said, at least, you know, it wasn't that kind of chaos, even though it could have easily turned that way. So what you're saying about that is so, so, so important. That's one of the things I don't like about working in the city. Now, you know, that's my
prepare
home.
Prepare for it, Rise, which I know you already are.
Oh yeah, I keep all kind of stuff on my person just to make sure. And as far as anybody trying to roll up on me, they don't want none. It's gonna be a problem. But as far as just, you know, being prepared as best I can in case something really catastrophic happens, yeah, I roll with my bag full of stuff every day. I keep colloidal silver in my bag every day. You know, I keep cayenne pepper in case I get a wound. I keep colloidal silver gel, 10,000 parts per million colloidal silver cream. You name it, I pretty much got it. Fire starter kit, I got a nice little elaborate one I keep with me with all kinds of little goodies. And flashlights. I got like 3 different ones I keep on me. So once my wife told me about that, once I found out about that blackout, I was like, I can't be unprepared as far as, you know, being in a situation like that and not having anything. And that's what situation she was in. So I was like, nah, you're not going to catch me without a flashlight. Matter of fact, I'm going to keep 3 on me. So if something happened to one, I got, you know, 2 more that I can use as backups. Matter of fact, it's actually 4 of them now that I think about it. Oh, matter of fact, it's 5 of them now that I think about it. So, yeah, I keep them around. I don't play. So, yeah, I would just say, like you always say, just be as prepared as you can. Because I agree with you. I feel like anything can happen at any time. And I could be in the middle of my job, and then bang, you know, something hits the fan, or one of my coworkers that's Israeli gets a call from Israel, and something hits the fan, and they start talking about it, and I'm going to hear about it. And at any point I need to make an executive decision as far as me getting up out of there, I will make that decision as early as possible and get the heck up out of there. So, yeah, I would just say try and be as prepared as possible. Try to carry as much that you can carry on your person. As far as preparatory items, like I even keep the Mylar blankets. I have a couple of those on me too.
Yeah,
I keep all of that on my person, so just in case something hits the fan, I'm good to go. I hope everyone else is thinking on the same wavelength, especially people that live in and around the city or have to travel to or from the city like I do. You know, just try to be on point with that, because at this point, anything could happen. There's too many different pieces being moved on the global theater of war chessboard for us to even be like playing games with this kind of preparation. So I'll just say that, and also try to keep some cash on your person. Try to keep a decent amount of cash on your person, so that way, like Dave said, you know, everything goes out and you can't get to that ATM and it's not working, you want to have some cash on you so that, you know, if you need to spend that cash, you know, to get home or to do something to facilitate your survival, you have it with you. You know, if you're a person who's been saving silver, you should be carrying some on you, something, keep it in a secure place, but make sure you have it. So if things really get critical, you might need to use that ounce of silver to facilitate your survival or getting you to where you need to go. So don't play with that type of stuff. It's deadly serious, and you will find out sadly, if you don't prepare when everything hits the fan. Thanks, brother. I'll mute my line.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And, you know, in the initial, if that happened, the initial attack in New York, because I don't think that Russia and China is just going to target New York. I think they will be target is, I mean, the East Coast is target rich. They're going to hit the ports. They're going to hit South Carolina. They're going to hit Miami port. They're going to hit all of those ports in Charleston and everything. They're going to hit those ports. They're going to hit Bayonne, New Jersey, and all of those areas, New York, the harbor, the ports itself. You know, New York is a huge target. And getting out of New York, you really just hit one missile in New York. And it is magnified to the hilt. There's a lot of people in New York that don't know how to get out of New York. Don't know how to get out of New York. And then with the panic and everything else, make sure you have good shoes. But the reason why the Second Fleet is there, because they know that Russia's been doing it, or they're using that Russia's been doing it. And what is the perfect way to engage China and Russia in the war? Now, all of a sudden, cause a false flag and say that they shot one missile into Lower Manhattan. There go the new World Trade Center. It's gone again. But this time is by a missile. Oh, man, everybody would be up in arms. Now, and during that time, people will be helping and working with each other. But when there is no aid that comes to those people, look how Hurricane Sandy, look at Katrina and all those, how long it took for the government to respond to that storm that they knew was coming. And it's, they'll have the overall plausible, deniable attribute of saying, oh, this was surprising, it caught us off guard. And then not only that, all of the resources, that was a target-rich area. We couldn't send resources into there because the submarine, they're still actively trying to sonar and attack the overall Russian or Chinese sub that just shot that. They may shoot again. People in New York will help each other the first two days. By the third day, no help's coming. Blackout, everything was spoiled. The first night is going to be cool, and they're going to be all sticking together. Second night, okay. Third night, forget about it. The opportunists is going, and the provocateurs is going to be there. And they're going to start the whole thing because they gain from that, and they benefit from it. So, all right, everyone, we're getting ready to get out of here. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. Make sure you stick around for Melanated Roots coming up right after Tando Radio Show. We'll be coming up. Big ups to you all. Much love. Much respect. Brother Braggs, if you'd be so kind to chime us out of here. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. Peace, peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.